إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, we spoke yesterday about the changes that are happening in the world, especially in India and America. And I said I will speak about resilience today. And it so happened this morning I got somebody sent me a Facebook post. And I'm not on Facebook, somebody sent me a post from two posts. One was from a post on Facebook by a black African American woman saying that she was, some white men came to her when she was pumping gas in a gas station and cursed her and so on and so on for being black. And one of them pulled out a gun and said, if there weren't any witnesses, I would shoot you right now because you are wasting the air by breathing. Another post from a Muslim woman saying that she was on a bus and another white woman started screaming at her, telling her to pull off her hijab and saying this is not allowed anymore in America. And then she even came and tried to physically pull off her hijab. At the same time, she said that there were a lot of other white people in the bus who were shouting at this woman saying, telling her not to do that, telling her this is not correct, you should not do it. So things are difficult. Now, the Facebook post which came to me, interestingly, is from a Hindu person saying what is happening to America and saying how can anyone remain positive in such a situation. So it's a Facebook post forwarded by a Hindu person, Facebook post of the Muslim person, forwarded by a Hindu person, criticizing what is happening and saying that this is bad and saying how can you still remain positive in that situation. My answer is very simple, and my answer obviously is from the perspective of Islam. And that answer is, what is the alternative? You don't want to be positive, what do you want to be? If you think being negative helps, then be negative. So that's the first thing. Second thing is that what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say and tell us with regard to difficulties? And that's the point of resilience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri wa salah. Allah said, when you have difficulties, take the help of sabr and salah. And sabr is to do all that is required to take care of the situation. So obviously in situations like this, try to record the event, you know, take a photograph of it, or somebody else is there, they can, I mean, everybody's got phones and videos and so forth. So take a record of that, report it to the police, make sure that people know what is going on. In America, there is CARE, which is doing wonderful work. Report the matter to CARE so that that gets taken care of and so on. But at the same time, ruju ila Allah. Sabri wa salah. Allah did not say sabri aw salah. Allah said sabri wa salah and salah. And therefore, salah refers to obviously salah as in prayer, and also it refers to salah as in dua. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we make ruju ila Allah. Resilience consists of two very critical and important parts. And we have a lot of huge amount of very accurate research data to show how and why resilience works. And this research data, incidentally, is not from things like this. And I'm not trying to trivialize these incidents. For people to whom it happens, they know how traumatic it can be. But the research data we have about resilience is from actual concentration camps. Now, it can't get worse than that. And they are talking about German concentration camps, Japanese concentration camps, American concentration camps, because the Japanese were put into concentration camps in the Second World War after Pearl Harbor. So, this research data, that research data shows that people who not just survived but who came out of those concentration camps in good condition, and people who perished. And I'm not talking about people who perished as in they were killed by their captors. No, they just perished on their own in the concentration camps. Now the research data shows that people who perished were people who did one of two things. They either sat there waiting for some angels to descend from heaven to help them, or people who refused to face the reality of their problem. People who said, no, it's not so bad, this can go away and this will go away and it will, you know, relief is around the corner, by Christmas we'll be freed, things like this. These are the people who perished, because none of that was true. No angels were going to defend to descend to defend you, and relief was not necessarily around the corner. So when that didn't happen, they lost hope and perished. People who did not perish, people who survived and people who came out successful, did two things. First and foremost, they faced the facts as they were, without any golden lining and without any rose-tinted glasses. They effectively said to themselves, we are neck deep in it and it stinks. Simple as that. We are neck deep in it and it stinks. Not funny. It is serious. It is not something that is going to go away by Christmas or by Ramadan. The Mahdi is not going to come. Allah is not going to descend. Allah is not going to send Malaika. Jibreel alayhi salam is not going to come and help. This is ours. We have to face it and we have to solve it. So people were very brutally frank. I mean, this is what the words of the research, they say that people who were brutally frank about the reality. They did not try to disguise the reality. They did not try to pretend that the reality was worse or better than what it was. Face the facts as they are. Second thing is, at the same time, and this is kind of a paradoxical thing, and that paradoxical thing is very important. Now, if you know, if you face some very hard and harsh facts, direct face to face without trying to disguise them, then the automatic psychological position is that of despair. So you go to this thing and say, okay, this is so bad, now I can't help it, I have to die. Now, this is the paradox. People who survived did not do that. They faced the facts directly, but they had hope in their ultimate success. Now you might say, how is this hope? That is where faith comes in. That is where sabri wa salah comes in. That's where ruju ilallah comes in. Because when you have this faith, there is no actual data-based evidence to show that this faith is actually based on something, right? So you might say, well, you are saying this is that eventually we will succeed. What is the proof? At that point in time, there is no proof. One can give you proof of from history. One can say this is what happened in this place or that place. But what is the guarantee that it will happen here? There is no guarantee. Yet you must have this faith. Because if you don't have this faith, then what's your alternative? If you're not positive, what's your alternative? Negative means despair, means you perish. Either physically perish or, you know, psychologically perish. So the point is that this paradoxical ability is extremely important for survival. And I think this is a good piece of advice for all of us to keep for ourselves and to give to others. No need to lose hope. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, without whose order and permission nothing can happen. Number one. Number two. Also look at the positive things. For example, take the other white people in the bus who were shouting at the woman and, you know, telling her not to do that, and obviously somebody would have intervened and so on. I personally, seriously, I believe that, you know, no matter if Trump comes or whoever comes, I personally know too many good white people in America to believe that this whole thing is going to collapse just because Trump becomes president. I don't think so. I absolutely do not think so. I have very, very good friends who are Christian, who are Jewish, and I have many friends who are also not white, but I'm here, the issue is the white people. So I'm saying that I've got too many white people friends who are very good friends for years, some of them for decades, who will stand up against this even if they have to lose their lives in the process. There is no way that this is the whole thing will collapse. But there will be a bad period, which is right now people are going through. So we are not trying to disguise the facts, but I'm saying that facts are both sides. There's facts, negative facts and positive facts. So there is that. But very important, do not hide from the facts and do not lose hope. Both of these are very important. And the third thing is, then find a way out of this. So what is, therefore, what's a strategy? Right? It's not just a matter of sitting there and hoping for the best. It's also saying, right, so we are in this situation. We are not going to disguise the facts. We are not going to deny them. We are also not going to lose hope. But we need also to have action, because you can't just sit there. So what is the action? The action, of course, in the case is to go back to the law, because the law hasn't been changed. I mean, it's people behaving in ways which are essentially illegal. So you can go back to the law and then, you know, hope that the law enforcement agencies will support you, which inshallah, bismillah ta'ala, all of this is possible. You file cases, you go to the judiciary, you take action, civil action, you take through protests and so on and so forth. And very, very importantly, and this is more difficult to do, but very importantly, you also show people the real face of Islam, the face of beauty of Islam. Now this, I mean, in America they've been doing it very well, because they have, for example, opened masajid at the time of flood and so on and so forth. They have given people a lot of help, and all of this now is coming to help them. Yesterday somebody also sent me some more letters of support in Chicago and Peoria that was sent to the masjid by, after this Trump won the election, letters of support sent to the masjid by the head of the Jewish synagogue, by the Jewish rabbi, by two or three pastors, priests of local churches and local people, saying that this is a terrible thing which has happened, but don't worry, we are with you, we will support you, we will protect you, and so on and so forth. We of course seek protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. But I'm saying that this is also simultaneously happening. There are people, and these are all unsolicited. I mean, nobody told that Jewish rabbi to send a letter. If he didn't send a letter, nobody was going to penalize him. They do this out of the goodness of their heart, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala support that. So there is, alhamdulillah, there is that side of the story as well. But that's why I said three things. One is resilience, consists of three things. One is facing the brutal facts. Number two, not losing hope, and ensure and being completely having faith that in eventual success. And third one is to look for alternatives. What are the alternatives? Some alternatives may be to stay there and attempt to change the situation, stay there and fight, stay there and make sure that justice is done, and so on and so forth. For some people, the alternative may be temporarily to also move and go to some other place where you are free from this kind of persecution if it gets too bad. I mean, this is also a viable alternative. It's not a matter of running away or being frightened and so on. So each person, of course, has to take a decision based on their personal circumstances and see what is best for them. But this is also an alternative. But there is no point in getting negative. There's no point in reacting. This is very important. There's no sense whatsoever in reacting. Because something is happening to you, if you start doing something to other people, then this ends up in complete chaos. You hit me, so I hit you back. That is the worst possible thing to do, because that's only going to make matters worse, and it plays back into the hands of people who are now trying to portray the Muslims and the black people and the Hispanics and so on in a bad light. Today we are living in a world where both in not only this country, I mean, I think globally this is happening. Europe is full of this, where people are saying, you either be like me or you vanish from the face of the earth. You know, change yourself to be like me. Now my point is, how do I become, even if I want to, which of course I have absolutely no desire to, but I'm saying, how can I become a wasp? White American, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, WASP, that's the thing for white males. How do I become a white male? I have no desire to become a white male, but I'm saying that even if I wanted to, how do you do that? So the point is that this whole kind of discrimination, which is racial discrimination, which is racism in its worst form, is actually arising out of this. So people are intolerant about anyone who is different. So the thing to do is not try to become like them, because we are not. We are what we are. We are proud of our identity. We have no desire to change and become something else. At the same time, present our identity in the best possible way, not by being reactive, not by playing into their hands, because any violence, any kind of reaction is going to play back into their hands. So we never do that. We behave with patience, we behave with fortitude, and we behave with ruju ila Allah, with connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah for His protection for all of us brothers and sisters who are in any danger anywhere, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help them and to protect them and make dua for them. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.